The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we are back live on the campus of the University of Georgia, the number one team in the country. And that, and who better to talk about the Dogs than Mike Griffith, who we've been talking about the Dogs with for a number of years. He has joined us here at Site. Good to see you, Mike.
Yeah, great times, Paul.
So we don't see you now. We usually see you in that little box wherever you are. But let's talk about this weekend. And, you know, the Dogs have not always handled success. They lasted one vote in 2008. There seems to be a much higher level of confidence that this Georgia team is going to remain and really is built for success.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess it depends on how you define handling success. I mean, Georgia's been a preseason top five teams 4 years in a row, four straight top 10 finishes. I mean, Kirby Smart's pretty much taken over a lot of these rivalries. They beat Florida 3 out of 4. You know, Tennessee 4 years in a row. I can't remember the last time. I guess Auburn hasn't won since 2017. No. Georgia's done everything but win the big trophy. And now they've got the team to do it. They've got the momentum. They got the fans. I mean, let me tell you, Sanford Stadium is going to be a factor tomorrow. Kentucky knows that. And when those fans get loud, and Arkansas found that out, Paul. I mean, Sam Pittman, he was hanging it up after the first couple series. They couldn't get a snap off. It's 21-0 before Arkansas gets the barbecue sauce off. They couldn't get anything going that day at Sanford Stadium. And I think we'll see more of that again tomorrow.
We will talk to Kirby Smart in about 30 minutes right here, and that will certainly be something I know he's counting on as his team heads out there. And tomorrow, 3:30 game, a little bit different than a noon game. It's homecoming, too.
Well, you say that, but, I mean, they were at 110 decibels at noon. You're right. You give them three more. I mean, they're going to be even louder. It's going to be even louder and even more hostile for the opposing team. And when you put that together with a front seven like Georgia has – it's going to make life miserable for this Penn State quarterback. I mean, Penn State to Kentucky transfer. He says he's looking forward to the game. I mean, you know, God bless you if you're looking forward to that, man. Let's see if he can get through it.
Mike, let's talk about the defense, because people have asked me, you know, where would you rank this defense? You've covered SEC for a long time, and you've seen elite defenses. How would you answer that question?
I mean, they're outstanding. I mean, right now, Georgia leads the country in total defense, scoring defense, pass efficiency defense, number four in run defense. I mean, the only people that don't seem to notice are the Lombardi Award. The Lombardi Award. David Pollack won this award back in the day in 2004. They whittled their list down to 12 semifinalists of the best defensive and offensive linemen in the country. Not one from Georgia. Three from Alabama. Alabama just gave up 41 points, Paul, but there's two Alabama – listen, if you don't think these Dogs are still hungry and still have something to prove, wait till you get Kirby on the set. He'll tell you, man, nothing has changed here. That number one ranking, it's window dressing. These people, like I said, it's one thing. It's the big trophy, and this game ain't for that. It's just one more step.
I'm just trying to remember if I vote in the Lombardi Awards. I think I used to, but I don't anymore. Yeah, so let me ask you about that, because there's a lot of conversation about this for the Heisman. And there really isn't a Heisman favorite at the moment.
Yeah.
Could that happen?
Probably the Michigan State running back. Yeah, could it happen? Theoretically, it could. Will it happen? No. I mean, part of what Georgia does so well is play so many guys on defense. There's so many layers. And if you just look at the numbers, if you didn't see Jordan Davis in person, 6'6", 340, hard to miss Lombardi Trophy, hard to miss 6'6", 340, you know. But you look at the numbers, we're talking 15 tackles in six games. It's not like he's Charles Woodson blowing up the stat sheet. The good news for Georgia is you've got a guy like Jalen Carter, 17 quarterback pressures. You've got Devontae Wyatt. You've got Trayvon Walker. And we haven't even got to the second level. Channing Tindell, Nolan Smith, former number one recruit. I mean, they're just loaded. Adam Anderson. They got a guy here, Adam Anderson, that's 6'4", 240, who's faster than all their tailbacks. He ran a 4.47 at the Georgia Combine. This guy's going to be off the board in the NFL draft, the first 10 picks. And he only plays about half the game, because they keep everyone fresh. So the front seven is just a murderer's row, Paul.
Mike Griffith with us. Mike, we've had conversations in the past over whether things are shifting. I always like to get big picture with you, because you've covered so many different teams. in the SEC and around college football. Alabama fans predictably are overreacting, but Alabama to get back in it this year has to beat Georgia. They have to get to Atlanta right. First. I want you to give us your thoughts on that program after A&M and how these two programs, Georgia and Alabama, compare right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, I got to be the first to say, and you remember, I championed Nick Saban for Coach of the Year last year. I mean, listen, he's a dominator. He's done a fantastic job. I mean, I got to just preface it by saying that. Okay. I mean, I covered Alabama football. I understand what it's all about. They're all in. There's no neutral site games. Their home games are home games. But they lost 6 first-round draft picks. And we're not just talking about pretty good players. We're talking about guys that are on your fantasy football team right now.
Right.
We're talking about dominant players that are no longer there, and they're in a reload mode. And if we're going to talk all this SEC talk, which we do, how tough it is, how thorough it is, you just can't lose 6 first-round picks and expect not to miss a beat. And listen, if Dan Mullen doesn't blow it, Florida should have beat him. And I said that. He absolutely blew it with the play call, and everybody, you know, shouted me down, tried to remind me.
Big Dan Mullen,
such man. Such a genius, right? But then they lost to Kentucky, and then the crickets came out in Florida. I'm not sure if they're back for this week's game yet or not, but the bandwagon really emptied fast after they got beat by these Kentucky Wildcats. Now they're back on it because they smell some Ed Orgeron tiger blood in the water. And I do think Florida will have a little momentum. But getting back to Bama,
yeah.
I am curious to see how they're going to come out of the tunnel. Mike Leach has had a week off. Mississippi State took care of some pretty good teams already this year. I believe A&M, you know, some transitive properties.
They lost. They did lose to LSU.
Well, they did. But the point is this. They haven't beaten Nick Saban since his first year in Tuscaloosa. This is an Alabama team that I think
was the coach.
Teetering a little bit. Nick Saban trying to say they're not an elite program anymore. You know, we'll find out Saturday night. I'm in a wait and see mode. That the ceiling for Alabama is still very high, but let's see if they get there.
But let me narrow the focus, and we'll put in the bank that you think Nick Saban's a good coach. We all do.
Thanks.
But in terms of comparing programs right now, and you know that's what we do, and we all know what Saban has done. Kirby Smart is reminded all the time by the media of what he hasn't done. And I realize what is ahead, but how do you see these programs converging upon each other?
Well, I think I know where you're going. I mean, Nick Saban turned 70 years old on Halloween, right? Trick or tweet. You know, senior citizen coach, you know, Kirby Smart's 46. And
he just called Nick Saban a senior citizen
coach.
Well,
there's no shame in that. I mean, Kirby's somewhere right now flying in the sky. I guarantee he's upset he's going to have to land that helicopter and come off the recruiting trail.
He'll be here in 30 minutes.
He is landing player after player. The momentum here is unbelievable. You said it before we started. You've been around this town. You see what I'm saying. People are starting to recognize Athens. This is an incredible football environment. And I've railed against Jacksonville because I think it's taken a premium game out of this town that I think it deserves.
Okay.
But with these game day games and SEC Nation being here, people are starting to get a load of what this campus and what this town is all about.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you've been here once, you don't need us to tell you about this place. But I'm going to dig a little deeper in what you just got through saying. You said Saban turned 70. Yeah, 2 weeks from Sunday.
He didn't look good after that game. Did you see him trip after he was coming off? I was a little worried about that. I mean, seriously, that was a very chaotic scene. It was very late at night. He falls down with the security guard.
You're younger than Nick
Saban. Strange halftime interview.
You know, you have people running. Anyone could trip in that environment.
I agree. I'm just saying.
I worry, though. I mean, Nick Saban, senior citizen coach. What does that mean?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess we'll find out. Right? I mean, I see but I'll tell you this. I cover Kirby. This guy eats glass for breakfast. I mean, he doesn't stop. He doesn't smile unless there's time for it. Everything about Kirby is on schedule. Everything answers the question. Does it help him win a championship? Yes or no? That determines his direction.
Listen,
I mean, he's dialed in, man.
And you don't think Nick Saban
He's got to keep changing the nameplates on the coaching offices. He doesn't know who's coaching. Who's his coordinator this year? Who's defense, offense? I mean, everybody, it changes. It's a revolving. And he's done a miraculous job staying at the top despite not having
that
continuity.
He just won the national championship a couple
months
ago. It was amazing.
But that was then. This is now. This is the SEC, man.
I haven't been over to the Billy Payne football facility. Did I miss a national championship over there by Kirby Smart?
No, you didn't miss anything, but you're asking me about the direction of the program.
Okay.
You're not asking me to look in the rearview mirror. You don't need a history lesson, Paul.
I don't.
You're asking me to look into the future, and I'm telling you, it's right here.
If I had a mic, I would drop it. I mean, Mike, yeah, that's what we're all talking. I mean, listen, everyone loves the games, but you and I know that the people that sit in chairs like we sit in, that's what we're watching.
Sure. And
we're watching these two ships.
You're right, and push comes to shove, and we've seen this act before. That's what you're getting at, Paul.
What does it mean that Jimbo knocked him off? I know that's not a direct correlative to Kirby, but it shows, I mean, there's blood dropping in the water.
Yeah, I mean, in the past, people might have taken some encouragement from that, but there's been blood in the water since Florida had him on the ropes. Again,
because
Dan
I know for a fact,
and
others do too, because they were sitting near him, but Jimbo, when these two teams met in 2017, he was pulling for Nick Saban. Not that he cared if Alabama won another national champion. He didn't want Kirby to be the first guy.
Well, I mean, that's good for Jimbo. Let's give him a participation award because he hasn't won anything yet, and he still makes $9 million a year, and all he's got is a participation award for beating an Alabama team.
He beat Nick Saban.
That's down this
six
year.
Days
Florida
ago.
Florida should have beaten Nick Saban. I could have called a better play than a draw at the goal line, Dan Mullen, and good grief. I mean, so he's the first to win. That's good. The Texas A&M fans can feel great about it. That's wonderful.
Well, they feel pretty good.
Are they going to play any SEC championship? No, but hey, we beat Nick Saban. Okay, that's good. Go get your drink. Stand in the corner. Because the main attraction is going to be Georgia and Alabama in the SEC championship game. Kirby's had these guys on the ropes before. This year, he's got the front seven and the dogs to get it done. It comes down to players. And give Alabama credit. They've had great players making great plays in big moments. These guys are the ones doing that now. And this group right here, Paul, they're not intimidated. They're not psyched out. They've been in the top five four straight years. Again, another day at the office in Athens. We expect Georgia to win these football games. And so do the oddsmakers, by the way. The line's, what, 23 points over the number 11 team in the country?
There is no one like Mike Griffith, and we certainly love having him on. Mike, thank you. We kid around, but nobody can do what you have just got through doing. We appreciate it very,
thanks,
very much. Outstanding. For those of you on radio, we will be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Kirby Smart joining us in a few minutes.
Oh, cool.
Laura Rutledge, before we get to – I want to get your reaction – because you covered so much of Dawn Staley. And, I mean, that was a remarkable moment there in Columbia.
Yeah, it was. Here's the thing about Dawn Staley. I think when we look back on just coaches throughout college athletics, she's going to be remembered as one of the greatest when her career is over. And I'm saying that as somebody that she's going to have an extensive career beyond now. But just even the history that's already happened for her, the remarkable moments that she continues to be a part of, I am so impressed. And she's one of my favorite coaches to cover, to watch. I think it's just amazing to see what she has accomplished and what continues to happen for that program.
Love her and her dog, Champ, who visited me a couple weeks ago on the
Champ, I heard that Champ wants to be your pen pal, but you, I don't know if you've responded yet. You got too many other pen pals.
I have a lot of dog friends.
Yeah. You know what? It's funny. Like, sometimes people ask me, is Paul Feinbaum like a nice person?
No.
I'm like, no, he's absolutely not, unless you're a dog. In that case, he will love you. He will kiss you. Like, your moments with dogs have been borderline inappropriate, like borderline PG-13 moments.
Yeah, there was one I do regret, and it happened right here. It was a Tennessee-Georgia game, and I've apologized to Smokey.
But, it wasn't very nice. Yeah.
But, as you have seen firsthand, Smokey and I have an awkward relationship.
Yeah, well, Paul, it's really
because
odd
I kind of I said Smokey, get out of the way. Yeah, like Uga's my favorite dog.
I know. I love Smokey's so beautiful. Uga's beautiful too. The thing is, like, it's rare for you to have an awkward relationship. So I just can't. I don't know how that happened, but you know.
Well, blue tick hounds are a little bit different. Let me put it that way. So the Dog Pound Association of America doesn't come after me.
Oh boy, yeah, you're getting yourself in trouble already today. We're like, what, 2 minutes into this, we're already in trouble? Every week, they're like, oh no, what are they going to do this
time? Well, I had an ESPN, actually he was a retired executive, so I'm not really the least bit concerned what he thinks. But he was texting me during our segment last week saying, get back to football. And I'm like, that's not what we do.
Also, we talk so much football. I mean, sometimes everyone just needs a little break. I talk football all day long with you.
Yeah.
People just don't. We just can't share those moments and those texts because it wouldn't be good for either one of us.
So we're here on the campus of the University of Georgia, the number one team in the country. I mean, it's hard to wrap your arms around that.
It's
been
not,
coming, though.
It's not if you watch Georgia play.
Yeah.
And this is what I think is really impressive. I mean, look, here's the reality. Something needed to happen elsewhere, right?
Yeah.
You needed Alabama to get knocked off. But Georgia has the most impressive unit in college football, which is their defense. And so, therefore, a complete team on the other side, too. Stetson Bennett does not get enough credit. All this conversation.
I didn't realize today he was a fourth. I thought he was the third.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, there have been three others before him. Maybe some others before that. You never know.
I want to meet those other Stetson Bennett.
Yeah, let's find him. What a name. I love it. But it is remarkable what he's done and what they've been able to do on the offensive side while relying heavily on their defense and just not knowing whether they're going to have JT Daniels and what their offense is going to look like and trying to kind of navigate through all that. I'm impressed. I think what we'll see tomorrow is a big test. I believe Kentucky will give them a test. I think it's going to be closer than some people have talked about. And a lot of it has to do with some
closer,
of the things.
I'm going to sound like some of the students behind me. Closer than 23?
Maybe.
Is that where the number is right now? And we're not allowed to talk about that, but I just wanted to make sure.
Here's the thing. 23 is, woo. A lot. I think it's definitely closer than that. Yeah, even
we're
though
we're
talking not
to a regular Danny Sheridan here.
Yeah. Well, remember when I asked you, I'm like, do you think I could do that as a career? And you're like, no.
Yeah. I used to have a newspaper. I know that you don't know this. I used to write for a newspaper.
Oh, I wasn't sure.
That was before you were born. And
that was.
And you would pick the games, and they always said, "Well, aren't you going to do it against the line?" I said, "No, I'm not going to do it against the line." So every week I would pick. Like 20 games.
Yeah.
And I'd say, you know, last week I was 16-4. And on the season, I'm, you know, 79-12 for, you know, percentage of .835. And people thought, man, this guy is really good.
He's nailing it.
And then one week I kept my number against the line and I went bankrupt. I mean, it was just, you cannot predict.
Again, no.
I don't even try.
It's not worth it. But listen, the reality is, I mean, this game's at home. The crowd's going to factor in big time just as they have this season. I mean, even we're talking about the noon kick, you know, a couple weeks ago. It's a remarkable place to try and play a football game if you're on the other side dealing with the crowd noise. But Kentucky's a really good team. I see all these tweets. People are like, oh, Kentucky's not that good, blah, blah, blah. They are really, really talented, and they're going to bring I think they've got a fight in them, too, that is important.
So somebody made a good point earlier, and you know, Kentucky has beaten LSU and Florida.
Yeah.
And if this was anyone else, they would be ranked about fifth or sixth in the country.
Yeah, no one buys them.
Yeah. It's.
I know. I'm with you. Instead, they're ranked 11th, which – hey, that's great. I mean, congratulations. I'm with you. I think they should be ranked higher based on what they've done so far this season and the way that they've won those games. I mean, last week against LSU, that was a game that maybe a prior Kentucky team and maybe even in the early stages of Mark Stoops' career, even in times when they've been good at Kentucky, they might have lost that game. LSU has way more talent. I mean, let's just be honest about it. And yet, this is a team that's playing really well together right now. You can't discount that in any level of sport, but especially not in college football.
So, for those, most of you know this because she's on ESPN every day at 4 o'clock, but is it in hosting NFL Live this week, are you glad to finally be on a college campus where the name John Gruden has been mentioned?
Yes, until you just mentioned it. I was relieved of that until you just said it. Yeah, you know, that has been such a prevailing storyline, certainly. And listen, rightfully so, considering the nature of the story and the nature of the situation. But I think it was funny because when Roman Harper got here today, he was asking me about it and just, you know, what it's been like from the NFL standpoint. And he said something that really struck me. He said, when things like this keep coming out about certain people, it doesn't surprise me at all. And I thought that's so sad that from the standpoint of a black man who played in the NFL, right, that he would feel that way. And so I do think that we're seeing this shift that's happening, should have happened a long time ago. There's still progress to be made. But it's been, I think, really revealing this week to see the different approaches, the conversations, and the mindsets around this story.
And on a lighter note, it's hard to find a lighter note on that subject. People always warn you. I've had friends. Don't ever put anything in writing. Don't email it. Mm. So my question to you,
Well,
nobody's listening.
Uh-oh.
Shh. Can text messages be recalled?
Yeah, because we're in trouble. And mainly just only because of things that we're saying about each other.
I thought about doing a book once of texting with Laura.
Well, I'm still thinking about doing the book called Texting with Paul. But here's a fun fact about Paul, and there are people out here who also do this. Paul, like, if you've just sent the text, Paul deletes it. It's gone.
He has
your phone right now, I guarantee you there's not a text message thread that's loaded up. That's so weird, right? Does anybody else do that? All these young guys are like, I keep all my messages. Yeah, it's blank. That's so weird.
Well, because I think what I don't want.
What are you scared of, Paul? I just got a bunch of texts. Kubiak just texted us. Oh, he said no. Kubiak, what are we doing wrong here?
Don't worry about him. He's only the producer of the show.
We're in trouble.
No, my point being, you never know how somebody, because, we have fun in text.
Yeah, we have fun everywhere.
Nothing that would make the New York Times or anything.
Oh, jeez.
But maybe the Wall Street Journal.
I just spit when you said that. Sorry, I spit on your table. Who's sitting here next? My bad.
Kirby Smart.
I'll wipe it off. Oh, no, Kirby. Kirby, I'm very healthy. Don't worry. Paul, you know what was funny earlier, though? I was over there hosting NFL Live,
right,
and you've got this great crowd. And I'm trying to brag to my friends on NFL Live. Hey, guys, there's a great crowd here in Athens. You got all these great people. And nobody was with me. They were all with you. And I thought, I never doubt my position when it comes to you. Like, you are the king, and I am your little court jester. But I really felt like it in that moment. And I wanted to say, hey, guys, like, this show's on ESPN, and your show is obviously way more important right now.
I didn't realize you were on ESPN. I thought that was, like, streaming.
Well, yeah, I'm on the app.
You're not on ESPN Plus.
I'm on that, too. I don't know where I am. But, yeah, thanks a lot, guys. I know where your allegiance lies, as it should. It should be right here with this man. Paul Feinbaum, ladies and gentlemen. Woo! Paul! Kubiak loves me right now because I got you off that other stuff.
You did. But we will be on ESPN Plus in a couple of minutes, continuing that conversation.
Oh yeah, we're gonna keep it going. We're gonna reveal all of our text messages and our emails. Hey baby, look at that! All the people on radio are like, "What's she talking about?" But there's a sign that says "Hey baby" on the screen. I was talking about you too, Paul. Hey baby.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we're back in Athens, and Kirby Smart moments away from being on this program. I think that certainly will be a high moment for us as we continue here. We've been here 2.5 hours. Some great guests. Kirby coming up here shortly. Let's get back to the calls here. It's been a while. And Mark is up next in Georgia. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much.
First off, correct Roman Harper's comments on Georgia's national championships. They also won the 42 championship. And I also wanted to get your comments on a comment that Stephen A. Smith had made last week on ESPN, where he was featured with Tim Tebow, where he was asked if Georgia had any chance of beating Alabama this year. And he went on to say, almost with a look of disgust on his face, that Georgia had no chance of beating Alabama this year. And after Alabama lost this past weekend, he was asked again about that this week, and he doubled down on that comment that Georgia had essentially no chance of beating Alabama. And while
that's interesting, he wanted me. I was supposed to be on his show today, but I got delayed, and it was just I think that's exactly what he because he knows I've said to the contrary. But I'm sure I'll be on with him shortly. I can't wait to hear that. And you know, he's welcome
just
to
curious,
his opinion.
You know, I give Alabama all kind of credit. I think they're they have the chance to beat anyone. They've got certainly got the talent. But to me, it just begs the question of, you know, what is this guy watching when by all metrics up to this point, at least in the season, that Georgia seems to be the best team, that he would be so dismissive of our chances of winning this year.
Yeah, I mean, I try to, you know, in spite of what everyone says, I try to look at things as objectively as you can. And right now, in my mind, Georgia is a better team. I don't think that really takes a lot of imagination or creativity. And, you know, Stephen A. is his own, you know, entity. So, you know, he is married. I mean, this is funny coming from me, but he is married to Nick Saban and that concept. But you have to be realistic, and what we saw Saturday night was disturbing. If you're thinking Alabama is going to win the national championship this year,
agreed. Well, Paul, that's all. I'm just curious. I respect Stephen A. Smith, and I certainly respect the Alabama football program. It just kind of blew me away that somebody, you know, that actually watches football could be that dismissive.
Well, you may have answered your own question there. He probably doesn't really watch much college football.
Well, hey, thanks for taking my call, Paul.
Thank you. Tony is in Georgia. Hey, Tony, go right ahead.
Yes, Paul, thank you for taking my call. And I've been going down the list on the game, the coaches. Tebow has been hitting on all subject matters. The one subject matter that I think everybody needs to watch and Georgia can run the clock and control the game is the simple fact Kentucky's linebacker core matchup against Georgia's receivers and tight ends. I think that's going to be a key.
Well, yeah, that's a pretty interesting analysis. Well, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it, and you be well. We are awaiting Coach Smart, who was expected to join us momentarily here. We'll take more phone calls at 855-242-7285. And Kirby Smart, the head coach of the Dogs, will join us in a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we are live in Athens, and Kirby Smart has joined us. And I think, to put it mildly, Coach, they're pretty happy here on campus.
As long as you win.
I've talked to you many times, and I don't think you've ever been different about what is ahead. You're as consistent as any coach I've ever known. But being number one, you've been number one many times as an assistant. Does it matter at all?
Not really. I mean, it doesn't. I think you worry more about the way it affects your players and your team and social media and those things. But it matters that you get in those playoffs, you know, and that's the key is being in the top four. It doesn't matter what you're ranked now or later. It matters at the end.
I don't know. I mean, I'm curious how you feel about the distractions. I mean, you coach the team, but everyone around you enjoys the atmosphere. And this it was two weeks ago. You had game day here. You have them back. You have another entity in what we're doing here on the SEC Network. It's almost like the circus has come to your campus.
It's great. It's awesome. It's what it's about, right? The fans want to enjoy it. Our state deserves it. And you know, we got a lot of great prospects going to be on campus. What better environment to have them in than this? And they enjoy that. Our fans are second to none. What they did Arkansas game and how they're going to turn out tomorrow, I think it just brings more energy to the program.
And coaching is one thing, recruiting is another, and we all know how well you've recruited. So when you have as many players as you'll have here, they're already here, how do you divide your time between getting your team ready and then doing what you have to do and visit with families and recruits?
You delegate. I mean, you make sure that you got people in your organization that can recruit, that can pay attention to people. Everybody serves a purpose, and you have a good plan for how to entertain people. But the business is the game, right? We have to play a good game. We're playing a really good football team. We got a lot of respect for Mark and the Kentucky team. So we have to do a tremendous job preparing for that. That's the foremost important thing. But you can only do so much time with the players, and you got to do a good job in recruiting. And we found that out over years, that these experiences they have on game day are the best experiences they
have. I want to talk about that, because we spend so much time obsessing over you're visiting players. But nowadays, these players are making decisions at all times, and a lot of them right now.
Yeah, a lot of them are sooner than later. And you've got official visitors. You've got people coming on campus over the summer. A lot of these kids, this is their first impression of your university because they didn't get to come 9th and 10th grade. They had the COVID break. And so it's been incredible, all the different facilities we have to show off and let them see those and enjoy them.
And how much different is that? Because I met you a couple of years ago over at the new facilities, and since then a lot more has happened. I mean, this place from a couple of years ago, before you got here and maybe right as you were getting here to now, is dramatically different.
Yeah, it really is. We've been able to enhance all those things, make the facilities better. Recruits enjoy that, but our players are the ones that get the benefit. They get to be in one place. They get a brand-new weight room. They've got new team meeting rooms, dining facilities. It's been an incredible sell for us in recruiting, not to mention we're, 60 minutes, 60 miles from Atlanta, and it makes for a special place.
I talked to you, I think it was at some point during the offseason, about NIL, and now that it's here, this is not a question you normally talk about with the biggest game in the country a couple of hours away, but have you been able to detect its effect on your team or any place in college football?
Really haven't. I think it's been minimal. I do think the players are getting an opportunity to brand themselves, to make money. I think the ones that do it the right way and doesn't disturb their performance, it's really important. You always worry about that when you have success. What's going to happen? Is it going to change who you are? And our team has a core belief right now, and they're just bought in so much that they know why they're winning. And if they can keep defining what that is and not let the distractions get you, which sometimes can be NIL, then you can be successful.
Chatting here with Kirby Smart, Kentucky and Georgia tomorrow, another epic game, and that they just build upon themselves. You've been down this road, of course, before, a couple of years ago. You experienced it briefly. In terms of trying to keep everything out, I know you're very good at that, but at some point, as you made the transition to this week or it's next, is there any method to that madness?
That you block it out with? I think a routine is the best thing. Our players love a routine. They know what we're going to do on Sunday. They know what we're going to do on Monday. They know what we're going to do on Tuesday. That routine helps us. And sometimes we step away from that routine and just talk and just share with each other in a team meeting environment, hey, what's making us successful? And I think that normalcy of routine takes the distraction away, at least while they're in our facility. When they walk out and they pick that phone up, like every one of our guys right now is probably walking over to dinner, they got their phone out, and they want to read something, they want to see something. But while we're focused on us, let's be focused on us.
And what some of them are seeing are descriptions by the media, by others, of your team, especially on the defensive side. And I want to ask you, I mean, we're hitting the midpoint of the season. Everyone knows the stats. Everyone knows the historic nature of this defense. And as somebody who has coached a lot of really great defenses, how I'm not asking you to compare one to the other because this is a team that's not complete yet, but how would you describe what you have on the defensive side of the ball?
No name, no ego, selfless. Really, the whole team's that way. We got no superstars, I don't feel like, really on offense or defense. And people might argue, well, the guys on defense are becoming – really, they don't buy into that. They buy into what the coaches, Coach Lanning, Muschamp, Schumann, Adai, Trey Scott, they do a great job of keeping those guys grounded. Our offensive staff does a tremendous job preparing the offense, and they don't get into the ego of who's getting the credit. And when you can do that, you can do something special.
And is it coaching that – and you mentioned some really good coaches there. Is that important, or does it take some leadership within to keep it?
Oh, no, it's not coaching, Paul. It's players. I've been plenty of guys that
to
come by here.
I'm trying to justify your salary.
I mean, those – yeah, there you go. You can do that. Yours, too, by the way. But a lot of the scouts that have come by have talked about, you know, we got good football players, and that's a big part of it. That doesn't give you the ability to win games, but it keeps you in games. And those players have to buy into a concept, and that's what this group's been unique at, is buying into the team concept and not making it about the individual.
You mentioned, Coach, I wanted to ask you about Coach Muschamp because you guys have been friends a long time. You've been competitors. How has he factored into what you're doing right now?
He's just blended in well. I mean, he came in and he's had an opportunity to jump on the field now. He's very smart, very intelligent, great recruiter. He makes it easier on the rest of the staff because he knows what you want. And he's not sensitive to you doing it that way, you know. So if we have an expectation of this is the way it's done, he helps others understand that. He helps relay the message. He's a loyal, loyal assistant coach that I appreciate the way he's embraced his role.
Certainly, at this state of your career, maybe in the first year, you would need to lean on people more. But at this point, do you lean on people? Because I mean, you're a very successful coach. Everyone knows there's a bullseye on George's back now, technically your back. Are there people that you can lean on when you're not certain of something?
Absolutely. I lean on our coaching staff. I mean, we've got a great coaching staff. The administration here has supported me to be able to keep coaches here and have a great support staff. We got guys that are, you know, off the field coaches that I can lean on for ideas and things. Lean on our players, and our players giving information and feedback. But it's a total team effort, and that's what you always want to have.
You mentioned the noise, Coach Smart, and you know, maybe because that's what we do. We start talking about the playoff in our business day one. You can't help but know what's going on. But how do you try to keep your program grounded from just letting it become a runaway train, which it is in the media. It's not
right.
I don't think it's in your locker room, but you still have to deal with it, do you not?
Do, but we communicate, you know, we talk, we make players stand up and say, why have we been successful? And a kid says, because we care about each other, our practice habits, senior leadership, everybody knows their role. And when they're defining it that way, they're telling you why. And then I say, okay, how do we keep it that way? Because failure can cause you not to believe. And success can also cause you to forget what you got you there. So we've sold that to the guys, the why, and not leaving that, for not forgetting who you are.
We're sitting here, and I've sat here with you, and I appreciate it because Friday's a busy day, and I don't think we've ever missed seeing you, and it means a great deal to us to be able to have these conversations.
I'm glad y'all are here.
But I've watched you, I don't know, I mean, I feel like I've known you a long time, but I've watched you mature into this job, and I just wonder, as you reflect, and I know you're not sitting around reflecting tonight, I know that, but can you appreciate where this is? Because we all thought you would be successful, but tonight you're sitting as the number one team in the country.
Yeah, the number doesn't mean anything. What matters to me is those men in the room and the men that play before these and the ones I played with and the people in the state that care so much for the university. It's a special place, and not everybody understands that. And it just makes it more special when people buy into, like, the same goal. And it's not about our ranking. It's about the guys who've played here in the past. All the coaches have worked here before me and buying into that. That's what I care about.
How much of a vacuum, or maybe it's a bubble, I should say, that are you and your staff in as you know, we're hitting the midpoint of the season? Everyone knows you got a bye week next week. Can you use that to your advantage?
Well, for a recovery standpoint, absolutely. I think everybody in the SEC will tell you you need the bye week. You can't come in a better time for anybody. But we got this huge game before it that's really important. It's going to be a physical game. They're a physical team. And it's always that way when we play Mark's team. It's just really physical when you play Kentucky. So our guys expect it. But the bye week, we're injured, we're beat up. They're injured, they're beat up. All that's going to be forgotten when that whistle blows and teams are going to go out there and compete.
A couple of seconds left. When you leave here, what happens next for the rest of your night before you get ready?
I'm going to go spend time with the team and eat dinner, and then I'm going to go watch a game, a high school game, and I'm not allowed to say where that is, so I can't talk about that. Then I'm going to get back to our team tonight and spend time with them at the hotel and go over some tips and reminders.
So you like to get to games as much as you can?
I love to get to games. High school football in this state and around this area is incredible, and it has supplied us with a lot of good players. So I want to support the high schools.
You've always been consistent on that, coming from a coaching background. Coach Smart, thank you so much for coming by. It's a great pleasure to see you.
Thank you, Paul.
We will be back. We're live at the University of Georgia.